Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
How are you today, Tanner?
I'm fine. It's a hot one. It's like 7 inches from the midday
Please
sun.
Please do not talk about the weather. Please.
Here in Connecticut. God,
do not talk about the weather.
Hurricane Elsa rolled through and then, man, it's a hot one.
No, I don't.
It's like seven inches from the midday sun.
You're a professional podcaster. When someone asks you,
you're my
how,
reason for reason,
how
Jack.
Are you?
I went to the doctor today,
okay.
But if you want updates on my eye trauma...
I don't want to hear that.
Sweeties, you're going to have to tune in to the Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/BSCC podcast, yeah. Where I do my IPE dates is what I've decided to call them.
Yeah.
And that's where I will update you on all of the eye trauma I'm suffering. Let me just tell, I'll give you a little taste, a little teaser on what my ophthalmologist told me today.
Okay.
The word shaving down and
I don't
cornea
want to talk about that.
Were mentioned. So,
I don't want that. That's literally the worst advertisement for subscribing to someone's Patreon that I've
You'll
ever heard.
You'll have to tune
in
to the Patreon
life.
To hear my IPE dates.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. You're going to ask me how I am?
Yeah, are you doing well?
Ants, Tanner.
I know you're not because you're salty.
Ants in my
you
laptop.
You came into this podcast with it. In your laptop?
Yeah.
It can happen to you.
Do you want to hear about it a little
Centipedes
bit?
Centipedes in my vagina?
That's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a Yahoo answer?
It was like someone photoshopped a like McAfee antivirus ad, like pop-up
okay.
ad.
Okay.
Yeah. And swapped in like viruses in my computer to
meme is,
centipedes
meme
in my vagina? It happened to you.
But yeah, so I opened my laptop and there were ants. And then I was like...
Rest in peace.
Excuse me?
John McAfee.
I don't want to talk about John McAfee.
Okay.
I was embarrassed to Google it. Because like once you Google ants in my laptop, you're the type of person who has Googled ants in my laptop. That's like on your permanent record, you know?
Yeah, you've got a thing about permanent records.
Yeah, that's like... It's like... It's fine to like have shameful thoughts, but like or like experiences. But when you put them out into the world like that, then it's like public.
Who do you think is seeing it?
It's not about anyone specifically seeing it. It's about like that's now part of my public persona, whether anyone sees it or not. As I'm a guy who has
you
ants
know.
In my laptop,
you carry that with you.
But I carry it with me. But what's interesting is where I ended up was. A bunch of comment sections of other people who are also like genuinely embarrassed.
Yeah. What decisions, lifestyle decisions have I made that led me to the point where there are ants in my
like
laptop?
All the, I swear to God, it's like a nice group of people that all of the comments
like,
are
I
like,
stop drinking?
It's all people being like, oh man, I'm like, I'm so relieved that I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What do you do about ants in your laptop?
You just clean it. It means you're gross. It means you like eat fucking like Ruffles chips over your keyboard while you're like fucking
editing your podcast.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I know.
And the ants are like, "Oh, this is they're like they don't want to be in your laptop, but they mistook it for dinner."
Right. And now they're like getting electrocuted by it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to turn into that. Did you see Gremlins 2?
Fuck yeah, I saw Gremlins too.
You know the electric gremlin who like goes through wires?
Yeah,
that's what the ants are going to turn into.
That's what they're going to turn into.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to turn into anything. I blew them away with a, you know, one of those old dust off
gun
sprayers. Yeah, with a gun. Yeah, that was what the advice said. Shoot your fucking laptop.
Blow them away with a gun.
Anyway, that's how I am. You've got eye trauma. I've got ants in my
laptop. Eye trauma. I've got this cool headband that I was giving you an in with my weather talk, but instead you decided to like trash the weather talk.
I don't like to talk about like visual stuff. In my line of sight. Okay, like, you're wearing a headband, but it's not going to come through in your podcasting.
Looks cool.
Yeah, it looks cool.
I look like Steve Van Zandt.
You look like Steve Van Zandt.
And it's wicking moisture away from my head.
Joan is fine. Thanks for asking about Joan, my new kitten.
I'm over
Joan. She's really settled into the family. She's got a, she's like a cockroach serial killer. She's like Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, does that, have you guys explained to her that you're like very into animal rights?
She must know it. Like, we fucking found her in a box in the playground and took her home instead of being like, oh, weird,
Joan,
kitten in a box. Joan.
Can you not kill, if you're gonna do anything with the cockroaches, please just usher them outside.
But she, like, wants to use, like, every part of the cockroach.
Oh, okay. So she's covered herself in, like,
yeah.
carapace armor.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cute.
That's cool.
But she and the other cat, by which I mean just one of them, are literally best friends.
Yeah, and
all they do is just follow each other around.
Again, I'm gonna ask this very delicately.
Yeah,
Princess has not passed, and you were just pretending that she hasn't, right?
I'm just like too embarrassed to do a Facebook update. No, she's fine. She's sitting right here.
Oh,
she's sitting right here helping me podcast.
Let me see.
Okay, fine. This is nothing. This is nothing for anyone.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Can you make her move?
Molly. Molly.
Molly.
Molly, love.
Jack. Jack.
Yeah. She moved.
She did move.
There we go. Hey, let's talk about the book.
Yeah. Welcome, sweeties, to Sweet Valley High, boys.
Greetings and humble salutations and a great big Sweet Valley High.
Hi.
We're the Sweet, Sweet Valley Boys, and we read the Sweet, Sweet Valley books, and I'm Sweet Valley Jack.
Tanner.
Tanner is also here. And this week we read a novel. It's called Sweet Valley High number 5, All Night Long.
Sweet Valley 5.
There's nothing there.
Sweet Valley 5.
There's nothing there. The Sweet Valley 5 sounds like, you know, like freedom fighters.
It does. Yeah.
We
it
famously, like at my high school, I can't remember if I've told this story on the podcast before, but a bunch of dudes skipped our like mandatory community service and went to Popeyes and they got caught. And so
Popeyes is a friend of yours?
Popeyes is a fucking fast food restaurant.
Oh, okay.
And so a bunch of us marched up and down in front of the headmaster's office where they were all being disciplined, shouting, "Free the Popeyes 5! Free the Popeyes 5!"
What a terrible like freedom fighter name.
Yeah.
The Popeyes 5.
I think about that a lot. Sweet Valley 5, All Night Long. It's kind of a bait and switch of a book, isn't it?
In what way? I'm curious to hear what you mean by that.
Well, I'll tell you. I was led to believe by Francine Pascal, author of these novels, last week, that this was going to be a novel about like Jessica like being kind of out of her depth with a college boy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I thought this was going to be a bit of a saga.
I thought, you know,
Scott,
what's going to happen?
The mustachioed college boy was going to be like 3 or 4 books.
Yeah. But
it was like a third of a book.
It's like the first like 20 pages. And then, in fact, what the book is about is how Elizabeth like
parent trapping all of Sweet Valley.
Interesting stuff, man. So this novel, we're going to have to describe it. But like Liz does this thing where she like, you know how they say it? What do they say about like the line between love and hate, that it's this it's
thin blue line?
It's the thin, they don't say that.
I don't know.
I think it's like, you know, it's like almost the same. You know what I mean? Like they're close. There's something about it.
Yeah. You know what the opposite of hate is?
Indifference.
No, it's love.
Oh, okay.
Wait. Yeah. Apathy.
You suck at this.
It's better to be hated than not thought about.
I got sidetracked. What I'm saying is that, like, this novel is about, like, how Elizabeth and Jessica aren't really that different.
Oh, yeah. I have a theory about that.
Yeah.
Do you just want me to get into that theory now?
Do you want to... Yeah, fuck it. Fuck it. You know what? No rules, just right.
Okay, I'll read a passage
here. Yeah.
So, it does require a little setup.
Okay. Should we describe the book first?
Yeah, let's describe the book, and then I'll...
Do you want to do it?
I'll do it. And I think it's your turn. I think it's your turn.
Oh, I thought that you just always do it now.
No. I think I did it last time. It's your turn now.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Do you want me to put 60 seconds on the Big Bad Clock?
Sure.
Okay. Or do you want 90? How much time do you want?
Whatever, man.
How about...
No rules, just right.
69 seconds. Hell yeah.
Okay.
In 5, 4, 3...
Okay, so Jess is like have fallen in with a college crowd. She's dating this like mustachioed creep called Scott Daniels, and like she wants to go
his
to
mustachios. His mustache.
It's
his
my 60 sucks. Seconds. It's my 60 yeah. seconds.
It looks isn't bad.
Yeah,
he's on
and
the cover,
and I get an extra 15 seconds. Mm-mm. She's dating this mustachioed creep called Scott Daniels, and like he sucks. And she wants to go to this like all night beach party, and Elizabeth is like, please don't. We have like a big exam tomorrow to be like, I don't know, tourist guides or something. Who knows? And she goes to the all night party and like makes a fake excuse, and like Liz has to cover for her. And then Scott is like really creepy and aggressive, and takes her to this like lake house and like kind of forces himself on her, but she pushes him away, and then he's like, fine, I'm just gonna leave you here. And she right. is out all night and has a bad time, and then she gets home, and then Elizabeth has to cover for her by pretending to be her, and she dresses like her and pretends to be her to her mom, and then pretends to be her and takes a test, and then like this somehow leads to this big fight with Todd Wilkins, and like they right. get in a big fucking flap, but they make it up and everything's
time up
kind of fine in the end. Nailed it.
Time up.
Nailed it.
So let's talk about the big flap with Todd Wilkins, because that's where my theory comes in.
Yeah.
Liz covers for Jess while she's making her way back from the woods. And then she dresses like Jess, and she looks very sexy, and everyone's like, oh, you look so sexy. You look like your sister.
Mm-hmm.
She goes up to Todd. Todd makes a joke about kissing Jess.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it's like the biggest spark of life I've ever seen in Todd Wilkins.
Yeah. Here's what happens.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Jessica cares more about herself than anyone else, Todd added. Elizabeth whirled on him, her eyes bright with angry, unshed tears. Who asked you for your opinion anyway? He touched her arm. Look, I was only trying to... I know what you were trying to do, she cried, shaking off his hand. You were trying to turn me against my own sister. I never thought you'd stoop so low, Todd Wilkins. A dull flush crept up the sides of his neck. It was the first time they'd ever argued. He looked as if someone had delivered a karate chop to his stomach. I'm sorry you feel that way, he answered stiffly. I was only trying to help, Liz, but I guess you just aren't interested in hearing the truth. The truth is you're jealous because I'm doing something for Jessica. Don't be an idiot, Todd growled, losing his temper at last. So I'm an idiot on top of being a cheat. Well, you're right about one thing, she said through clenched teeth. Only an idiot would go out with you.
Okay.
Liz is... In all the trappings of Jess, she even puts on Jess's clothing just to try to deceive everyone into thinking she is Jess. And she becomes Jess.
She
this
becomes
reaction
Jess.
And this passion is
it's
a
only
very
Jess.
Jess-like state. I think Jess is cursed.
Oh, interesting.
I think Jessica is wearing some kind of like cursed jewelry, like the One Ring or something, that turns her into sort of a nasty lady.
Okay.
And Liz has accidentally slipped on whatever like cursed... accessory.
Yeah, that so that I think more or less tracks with how I have been viewing it. Cause I noticed this as well. Basically throughout this novel, and that's what this novel is about, is that Liz is like slowly turning into her sister.
Right.
But I hadn't got so far as to figure out that like the only thing that's materially changed is she's wearing Jess's clothes.
Right. So I think she must have put on like a necklace or like a headband or like a bracelet or a ring or something that carries the like curse that turns Jess into such an awful human being.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Because it instantly hits Liz. She almost breaks up with her boyfriend. In fact, the book ends
over
on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Where are Todd and Liz going to break up?
No, I mean, I think what's going to happen next week is that Todd's going to get a motorbike, and Liz isn't going to want to ride on it because her cousin died in a motorcycle accident. But she's going to be like, for some reason, she like the book ends with it being like she just doesn't know how to tell Todd that her parents forbade her to ride on a motorbike. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? Like, it's actually not that hard. Yeah, my cousin died in a motorcycle accident. My parents said I can't fucking do it. Todd, you're a goody two shoes just like me. Like, I take it you'll be cool with that.
I guess my approach with Todd would be like, Todd, you're a boat, clearly. How and why would you ride a motorcycle?
Is he a boat?
Yeah, I think so.
Do they say that in this novel?
Francine says.
Where does she say that? I missed it.
I think it's all tied in with car theory.
Okay, yeah.
I think some of the boys are cars and some of them are boats.
Uh-huh.
He looked mysteriously happy about something himself, she thought. Nothing could spoil the good mood I'm in today. He waited a beat, an irrepressible grin plastered across his face. Are you going to even ask me why I'm in such a terrific mood? Why are you in such a terrific mood, Todd? Elizabeth asked dutifully. Because I finally have enough money to buy that Yamaha I was telling you about. Man, I can hardly wait. He closed his eyes in an expression of rapture. I can almost feel the breeze whistling past my helmet now. And I Googled Yamaha.
Uh-huh.
And I got
it's an outboard motor, right?
SimYamaha.com/Canpuro-Yamaha-Diagnostic-Tool. I think Todd is excited about buying this diagnostic tool for an outboard boat
okay.
motor.
Yeah.
Which would make, and you know, all the boys are cars, but it's like, why would he be excited about a diagnostic tool for a boat motor?
Well, boat is a car of
and
the sea.
He's a boat.
Boat is a car of the sea.
He's a car boat. Yeah. He's a sea boat.
Yeah.
Sea car.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm interested in. Yeah, sea interesting. Car. Very interesting. It's interesting what Francine does in this novel with that
Todd's
stuff.
A boat.
Yeah, Todd's a boat. The boys are cars. And Liz is turning into her sister. Alternatively, maybe there's only one of them. It's like a Jekyll and Hyde situation.
Oh, Fight Club.
Or Fight Club. That's better. It's a Fight Club. Yeah. Is it Fight Club?
I am Jess's like diseased liver.
I was never into Fight Club. I like
Oh, look at you. Look at hey everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone, come to the cool guy Jack here. He's not into Fight Club. Everyone.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll accept
he's
that.
Not into Fight Club.
He never was. Not when everyone else was.
He never has been.
Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't think he even likes Chuck Palahniuk.
Palahniuk, I think.
Palahniuk.
But I'll go a step cooler. It's not like I'm not being contrarian. I like watched the movie and I remember watching it and I remember being like, cool. But like then I went on about my fucking life. And the rest of you fuckers
what
were
do you think
all
about,
like quoting
American
it
Psycho.
And like, I never saw it.
Everyone! He never even saw American Psycho. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, cool guy.
Good.
Yeah.
I liked Fight Club, I guess, when I saw it.
Okay.
But I literally haven't thought about it.
Okay. Oh, hey everyone. Check out cool guy Tanner over here. So let's see. We've described the novel. We said what they're doing. Do you want to punch up this saxophone joke with me?
Mm-hmm.
it's just a real let's
script.
See.
Is this a segment? It's like script doctors with
yeah.
Dr. Jack and Dr. Tanner.
Yeah, the script doctors. The script doctors are in.
The doctor will see you now.
This patient.
I need 20 cc's of jokes.
Yeah.
Stat.
They rushed him to our hospital. They didn't think they could save him, but they knew that the joke doctors could do it.
Oh, we're like Dr. House.
Yeah.
We solve mysteries, but they're
all. It's not lupus.
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this.
Such a hearty 2010 meme. It's not lupus.
So Elizabeth is having a conversation with
Vampire Anne Rice.
No, the girl from the droids, the singer of the band, and Weenie Rollins is there.
Dana
or something. Anyway, here we go. Don't tell me. I think they're in the bathroom.
Yuck.
They like chat in the bathroom.
Yuck.
They always do that in movies, too.
What, are they pooping?
I think they're looking in the mirror. They could be if they have the stall doors open. It doesn't say.
Yeah. Jack has a staunch acknowledging another person in the bathroom is a total like faux pas to you, right?
Yeah.
When you were in the bathroom, you were a solitary creature.
Yeah.
And just sort of like isolated from the rest of the world. And you don't look at anyone, you don't talk to anyone, you don't acknowledge anyone.
We can like chat out. Like, this is a thing for people who don't use men's bathrooms.
Well, and especially for people who have never worked with salespeople.
Yeah, especially who have never worked with salespeople.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of urinal chatter. And even, like, some dudes will be, like, pretty happy to, like, talk to you while you're sitting in the stall and they're in the urinal. And none of these things I want at all.
No. Yeah. I know that about you.
Yeah. Let me say this joke and then we'll punch it up. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Don't tell me. Peering into the mirror, she smoothed back a strand of her boyishly cut blonde hair. You had a fight with your boyfriend, right? How did you guess?
It was cut by a boy?
Yeah, boyishly cut. That's what it means. A boy. She must have let a young boy cut her hair.
Right. That's a mistake. I have a young boy, and I don't think he would do a good job.
No.
I think he would lose interest.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
How did you guess? Elizabeth asked. Men are the root of all our problems. Her expression held an air of profound knowledge. They can lift us up to the clouds one minute, then plunge us into the pits the next. I know. I was hung up on the sexophonist once. I mean, really gone on the
Come
guy.
Come on, you dickhead.
What?
Sexophonist.
How do you say it?
Saxophonist.
Well, that's wrong.
Saxophonist.
That's obviously how it would be said.
You're such an asshole.
Why am I an asshole? That's
saxophonist.
That's obviously how it's pronounced.
One second. Jamie?
Don't ask Jamie.
I have to pull in some backup.
Just ask her to...
Can you come down?
No. Jamie's going to get it right. Jamie's going to back me up. I'm not an asshole for saying it like that. What do you think? Well, you think it's pretentious?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a world in which sexophonist is the proper way to say it.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone's ever said it that way. I don't think anyone would ever say it that way. And I think you're pretentious. Here comes Jamie.
Ugh, fine.
No, she's going to get on. Will you be on the show?
Yeah.
I need you to, you can say hi to Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Will you pronounce this word?
Saxophonist.
Okay, fine.
Did you say saxophonist?
Yeah, of course. That's how it's pronounced. Tanner called me an asshole. Truly, that's how it's pronounced.
Saxophonist?
No, saxophonist.
Saxophonist.
As much as it pains me to say that, Tanner did just make the...
He made a jerk off.
Hand motion like he was saxing off.
Okay.
As much as it pains me to say this, Tanner's right.
You think Tanner is right?
Well, I think I'm right, and Tanner agrees with me.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for nothing.
It also, it doesn't, you're welcome. It doesn't pain me to say it. I love him very much.
Oh, that's nice. Even in that fucking headband.
It keeps him cool. You know he runs hot.
He does run hot.
Bandana? He says it looks really good.
Yeah. Jack, should we keep recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jamie. Thanks for nothing.
Thank you for coming down.
You're welcome.
All right. This is a sexophonist.
They can lift us up to the clouds one minute. Do you want to hear the joke from the beginning?
Please.
Well, and I want to be clear. It's like the setup for a joke, and then they don't land it.
Okay.
So that's why the doctors are in.
That's going to make this easier. It's not we're not trying to repair a broken joke.
No, they just like...
This is a transplant.
Yeah. This is a transplant. It's a joke transplant. Yeah. Men are the root of all our problems. Her expression held an air of profound knowledge. They can lift us up to the clouds one minute, then plunge us into the pits the next. I know.
That's a weird thing to say.
I was hung up on this saxophonist once. I mean, really got on the guy. What happened with him? Enid asked. Oh, let's just say we had a parting of the ways.
Okay.
So, like... I'm right, am I not, that that's the full setup for a saxophone joke of some kind.
Immediate joke, weak joke. Let's just say our reed split. That's not
good. See, you've got the right idea.
Let's emasculate him. I thought he was going to be a baritone. He turned out he was a soprano. Is there a soprano sax?
Alto for sure.
Yeah, everyone knows alto. Soprano.
What about this?
So
what about this?
Like
I've got it.
There is. There is a soprano sax. So it could be. I thought he was going to be a baritone sax, more like a soprano sax.
What about this? The sax wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
That was good. That's good. It's pretty on the nose, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to look up saxophone terms.
Okay.
And Bill Clinton played a sax, right?
Yeah.
Saxophone glossary. Here we go.
Hey, Tanner?
Yeah.
Can you listen to this for me for a second?
Yeah.
Saxophonist.
Saxophone.
Saxophonist.
Jack? Saxophonist. Hey, Jack? Hey, Jack?
Yeah.
Can I play something for you real quick?
No. No, we're done. We're done with that.
Hey, Jack, can I play something for you real quick?
No, I'm finished. I'm finished with that.
Will you? Can I play something for you real quick?
Quick, what?
Will you go to google.com and search saxophonist?
No.
Or saxophonist?
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Do it. Do it now.
I already did. I don't want to.
And then
I'm not interested.
Click the little speak this word thing.
Saxophonist. That's what
he says. The American man says saxophonist.
Well, exactly. And that proves my point even more.
So I'm looking at some saxophone terminology here. I think we found. I think we found it.
I think we got the joke. I think we landed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
E flat maybe.
E flat.
Left me feeling E flat.
He left me feeling E flat. No, that's nothing.
I think we got it. I think yours was good.
Yeah. I think that's it. The sax wasn't
ligature.
As good as I thought it was going to be. That's funny. Can I read it again and we'll just kind of see if it works?
Yep.
All right, the joke doctors would like to present. Is that what doctors do after they fix a patient? They proudly go out to all
of
the waiting friends and family.
It's part of getting things done.
And they're like,
it's called review.
Yeah.
It's one of the most important steps. Everyone neglects it, but it is one of the most important steps.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. I'm going to look up Francine Pascal's email.
Perfect.
While you're reading it so we can send it to her.
Okay, perfect. You want to just like compose the email and then we'll look up her email later to put in the to field?
SimonandSchuster.com.
Tanner.
What?
Why don't we compose the email together now, and then
okay. You
can find her email address on your own time and put it in the to field rather than wasting podcast time you looking for her email address. What do you think?
Okay.
Does that sound okay? I don't want to pressure you because you're clearly still doing it. Tanner.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
I think I found it.
Perfect.
Francine Pascal, Executive Administrative Assistant to Mayor of the Township of Hillsborough County, Florida. That sounds right, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's very important.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Dear Francine.
Yeah.
You don't know us, but we've done you. Are you writing this down?
Oh, no. I'm not much of a typist. I'll transcribe it later.
Okay, perfect.
I'll pay to have it transcribed.
Then will you listen to me? You don't know us, but we've done you a great service. In your novel, Sweet Valley, what are you doing?
What's the Qui-Gon Jinn movie where his daughter gets kidnapped? Taken.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should take a little bit of stuff like that.
Okay.
Very particular skills that have required. Okay, so.
Okay, perfect. Dear Francine. Is that too familiar?
Ms. Pascal.
My...
You don't know us.
My dear... Or you just want to say Ms. Pascal and then colon. It's always scary when people do that. Colon. Mm-hmm. Ms. Pascal.
It's like a robot wrote it.
Colon. You don't know us. Yeah. But we have a peculiar set of skills.
But we have a very particular set of skills.
You don't like peculiar?
Peculiar's not...
Okay.
Right from the Taken monologue.
Okay.
Particular set of skills. Skills that we have acquired over a very long career.
Yeah.
Skills that make us a nightmare for people like you.
I forgot about that part. You think that's coming on a little strong or you think it's fine?
I think that's good.
Okay.
So that's how we open the email.
Okay.
And then you take it from there.
In your novel, Sweet Valley High No. 5, All Night Long, Which, by the way, I read in just 2 hours, so it's totally mistitled.
Oh, right. Yeah. And also, I read in the afternoon, so.
Yeah. So. You really beefed it on the saxophone joke.
I think what you're saying is fair.
Yeah.
It's a fair assessment of her work.
Yeah.
I'm worried it's going to put her on her back foot.
Okay.
And we're trying to get a credit on this book for the next.
Oh, right. Okay.
Weird.
What?
I was just on the title page and it says, All Night Long, Sweet Valley High, asterisk. Written by Kate Williams, created by Francine Pascal. And I scrolled down to see what the asterisk could possibly, like what footnote the asterisk is referring to. And yeah. There is not.
Huh. Weird.
There is not one.
Okay. That is interesting. Let's just finish this email real quick and take a break. We won't say beefed it. You missed a real opportunity on the saxophone joke.
We feel like you missed an opportunity. There's nothing at the end of the book either. What's the asterisk? What's the footnote that it's referring to?
I don't know, man, but I really want to get this out.
Okay.
We fix it up for you, and I'm going to say it now, and you can write it down, but you can listen to it as well and tell me if it sounds good. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
Men are the root of all our problems. Her expression held an air of profound knowledge. They can lift us up to the clouds 1 minute, then plunge us into the pits the next. I know. I was hung up on this saxophonist once. I mean, really gone on the guy.
It's in writing, so too.
What happened with him? Enid asked. The sax wasn't as good as I expected.
Very good.
Yep.
And Francine.
Yeah.
Colon.
Yeah.
All we ask is that this be included in the next digital update of the ebooks and any future printed editions of the books.
Yeah.
And for these services, all we require is 10% each of any property.
And put our names where all Kate Williams' name is.
Sweet Valley High Books. And put our names where Kate Williams' name is.
Perfect. Okay, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tanner, he's choking me a little bit.
Oh, he's wearing a choker, folks.
I wore it too tight.
What was once a headband has now become what we call a choker in the business. It's a very dashing. Tanner, I have a couple of passages in this novel that I found deeply confusing.
Okay. This is really...
Take it off, then. Take it off.
You go ahead. I'm going to adjust.
Or just take it off.
Well, it's a little too hot for that.
Okay. couple of passages that I found confusing. Do you want to help me try to unpack them a little bit?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the first one. This is when Jess is like is flirting with these college boys.
Yeah.
Jessica hooked one leg over her strategically bent knee and shifted slightly to a more flattering pose, just in case Scott or one of the other boys happened to be looking. In her new red string bikini, she was a match even for Miss 10, if she did say so herself.
There's a 10th Miss game?
No, not missed.
Are you kidding me?
No. No, you've missed.
I've missed so many games. the last missed game I played was Miss 5.
Well,
you're telling me there's been five more missed games?
I'm sorry to disappoint. It's Ms. 10.
Oh.
Ms. 10.
Ms. 10.
Here's the only thing I could think that it possibly refers to, unless you have a better idea. In England, we don't have a White House.
There's not a single White House in the entire country.
No, but there's not the White House.
Okay.
Instead, our president, which we call our prime minister, lives at number 10 Downing Street.
Mm.
And so I was wondering if Ms. 10 might refer to either the prime minister, Margaret Thatcher, or if it's John Major or whoever. I can't remember when this was released, whether it's his wife. But I think actually Thatcher, this was like what, 84?
I think it's either going to be, if it's a female prime minister, it's either going to be...
It's going to be Margaret Thatcher.
Pimodis. Or if it's a male prime minister, it's going to be Fotis.
No, that none of that works for the UK.
Okay, Foduck.
Yeah, that's what we call him. But do you think that's what Miss 10 is? That's all I can get. It's Margaret Thatcher. I think I solved it. Jessica hooked one leg over a strategically bent knee, shifted to a more flattering pose, just in case Scott was looking. Her new red string bikini, she was a match even for Miss 10. Yeah, and that's the most formidable woman in the world at the time of writing, is Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
That's what it must be. So I think I've solved my own problem.
Margaret Thatcher is currently the prime minister?
Not now.
I think she passed.
Yeah, I think she was the prime minister around the time these novels were written.
Has she passed?
Yeah, she's gone.
Okay, moment of silence.
No, I'm not going to have a moment of silence for Margaret Thatcher, Tanner.
She passed, Jack. It's respectful. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, that was what that was. All right, I've got another one. You want to hear it? Do you feel like we solved that?
Yep.
Okay, here's another one.
Did the Queen go to Margaret Thatcher's funeral?
So, yes. This is, Tanner, Elizabeth is like, so Jessica's out all night. That's what all night long means, is that Jessica's out
all night.
I know
lots of prime ministers.
Yeah, I know there have been lots of prime ministers.
Walpole, Wilmington, Attlee, Devonshire, Pitt, Lord North, Derby.
Yeah, I know that there have been a lot of prime ministers.
I just listed 7 of them.
I think it's probably Derby.
You impressed?
No. Can I say the next one?
Yes.
Disraeli.
Okay, so you can name. I named 7. You named 1.
Yeah, but my name the coolest one. listen to this. This is after. So the movie is called All Night Long because Jessica's out all night long. It's not.
She does. She goes all night.
It's not about anything else. It's just that she's like. She says she's going to come home, but she doesn't.
She doesn't do sex all night long. She doesn't do drugs all night long. She's just partying like all night long. She's just out.
Everyone
all night
falls
long.
Asleep at the party.
Oh yeah. Can I interrupt you?
Yeah,
with a passage of my own that pertains to that exact sentiment.
Yeah, because I was interested in talking about. I think this as well. We will take a brief pause and then I'll tell you my second thing that I'm troubled by. Read this passage.
What am I going to do? My parents are expecting me home. It's kind of a long passage. My parents are expecting me home, and I have a test tomorrow that I haven't even begun to study for. It was no use pleading with Scott to drive her home. He was too drunk for that now. Scott's expression held not a flicker of sympathy. You should have thought of that before you came, he told her. Don't let it get you down, babe. I have a feeling you're used to getting in and out of trouble. I'm sure that pretty little head of yours will come up with something. Thanks for your confidence, she flung back at him in disgust. You're a real winner yourself. An idea came by her, all of the sudden, and she smiled. Listen, I think I left my sweater in your car. If you'll just give me the keys. No dice, baby. I know what you do with those keys if you got your hot little hands on them. I'm wise to you, Jess. You know why? Because we're alike, that's why. We want what we want, and we don't care how we get it. Blah, 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 blah. Scott's eyes drooped shut, and his mouth hung slackly open. A loud snore shook his chest. Furious, Jessica plucked the socks that dangled half-heartedly from one of his feet and crammed it into his mouth. Scott sputtered and rolled onto his side, but he did not give her the satisfaction of waking up.
Yeah.
Hey, Jess. Take his keys.
Take his fucking keys. No, I had that same fucking thought. Take his fucking keys, Jess.
If he's so passed out that you can literally take a sock off his foot and jam it in his
mouth.
Take
his keys.
Take his keys and just drive away.
I had that exact same thought. But so this this leads me to another thought. Can I read you a very brief passage and then tie these two things together? This is when Elizabeth has heard bad things about these college boys. Yeah. They're particularly bad, even for college boys.
Am I incorrect that at the end of last season... Sorry, season of the film.
Okay.
That we read last week.
The end of the last book is what I'd say, but yeah.
They described Scott and his friends as being like art majors.
Yeah.
Probably. Is that not right? Because Jess is like, oh, I've suddenly developed a real interest in art. And it's because she's chasing this art.
Because they're art majors?
I'm going to go look it up while you read your passage.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And that'll be great because then you'll be reading something else while I read it. And then I'll have to read it again.
Well, you don't have to read it
again. That's going to be so fun for me. Well, because I'll need you to react to it, you see.
I've noticed lately that you've been walking around looking a little out of it. But I thought it was because you were sorting out that business with Robin. My dear naive Elizabeth, said Jessica, those are things kids worry about. Well, if you haven't been hiding out because you didn't want to show your face, where have you been going? To the beach, sketching. I feel art is something extremely important to me, Liz. Beach, sketching. The dunes around Castle Cove are magnificent natural wonders. Elizabeth did a double take. Was she hearing correctly? Castle Cove? That's where the crowd of college kids from State hung out. Jessica, are you hanging out with the college crowd? I find them a much more enjoyable sort of people. They understand that life is art. So I think the implication there is that
they're art majors.
They're all art majors.
They're dangerous art majors.
Dangerous mustachioed art majors.
You guys have to see the fucking sweeties. You got to see the picture of this guy on the cover. He looks amazing. His fucking he'd been growing that mustache all night long. I can tell you that much.
I couldn't grow a mustache like that.
Let me read you this passage, and then I'm going to tie it all together. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
We're five layers deep in Inception right now, so I really need you to focus, or we're going to be trapped forever.
It's going
to
be so tough.
Okay, ready? Anyhow, it wasn't the age difference that bothered her so much as the reputation Scott's gang had.
Okay.
Elizabeth had heard stories about the wild parties held at some of the college dormitories. Her best friend Enid's older cousin had even been to one. It was a kind of grown-up pajama party, she'd reported, with everyone wearing nightshirts and nightgowns, and the floor strewn with mattresses for them to sit on instead of chairs. According to Enid's cousin, things had gotten pretty far out of hand, especially with all the drinking that was going on.
Yeah.
Tanner, I think they're holding napping parties.
Yeah. I was thinking about that as you were reading it. It's like, if I were going to that party, first of all, I sleep in my underwear, so I'm showing up in my underwear.
Yeah, I swear nothing.
And second of all,
to sleep. So
if you were... Yeah, well, hey, open the door. You got Jack and Tanner there. One's in his underpants. The other's wearing nothing but what God gave him.
Yeah.
And if you invite me to a party where there's lots of drinking and mattresses everywhere, you better believe I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So
I'm going straight to bed. But that fits with the passage you read, right? Because that's what they do. They're at this all-night party, and he's like, babe, this party's an all-night party, and the movie is called All Night Long, and what does he do? Around midnight, he just passes out and falls asleep.
Do you think the pajama party is performance art? It sounds like something
it's one of their art pieces.
What's his face? Guy with the bowl cut, white bowl cut. Andy Kaufman. No, Andy Warhol.
Okay, yeah. That was fun to watch you get there.
Sounds like something you would do.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, they're filming each other sleep or something.
That's cool.
It's cool. Yeah. That's art. So they're having napping parties. It sounds great. Sign me up. And now we're kicking up one layer of Inception, Tanner, and I'm going to ask you about this thing that confused me.
Okay.
The trouble was that Elizabeth could never seem to stay mad at Jess for very long. And she couldn't bear just to stand by and do nothing when someone needed her help, especially when that someone was her own sister. I should have "welcome" tattooed across my chest, she sputtered in disgust through a froth of toothpaste foam. So a few things. One, she's saying this out loud.
Yeah.
She's by herself by in the herself. Bathroom and she says that out loud.
And she sprays
so if you're just if you're a fly on the wall, yeah. You're like Elizabeth is like look seems agitated. She's like brushing her teeth as she like thinks to herself with her furrowed brow, and then all of a sudden, out loud, she says, "I should have "welcome" tattooed across my chest," as she spits like toothpaste out into the
just sprays
ether.
It. Yeah.
And even if you know like what her internal thoughts are, which is that she's like always covering for Jess, it still is kind of a non sequitur.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to think in reaction to that thought.
I should have "welcome" tattooed across my chest. Welcome. What would it mean?
Okay.
If you tattooed "welcome" on your chest.
Beep beep beep, and okay. Bring in Dr. Jack and Dr. Tanner.
Okay. Okay, and it's the joke doctors are back. Yeah.
The doctor will see you now.
We're going to fix this guy right up. Don't worry. I know he looks bad.
Okay. We're just two normal men, you know. We're just we're not trained professionals. We're not heroes.
Yeah.
So we'll come in. We'll try to punch this up a little bit. The thing she's trying to say is that she's walked. How about this? Mm. Why don't I get oriental rug pattern tattooed across my chest, because she's getting walked all over by Jessica.
Oh, okay. I see what we're doing here. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, it's like a welcome mat.
Someone has two little dog paws tattooed on their chest.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they were in some kind of like ensemble called like the dog group or something. I don't know.
Okay, perfect. Three dog night.
The implication there is a dog walked all over her, so maybe she could just get, like, boot prints tattooed on her chest.
Boot prints would be good. Why don't I get boot prints tattooed across my
little
body?
Little boot prints. And, like, you could say, like, oh, why is there only one set of boot prints? And it's like, that's where I carried you.
I think this is interesting. So the joke there should be, and we'll kind of append this, when Francine gets back to us, we'll send this to her.
By the way,
because there's a joke, but then there's like an opportunity, right? Where it's like, why don't I get boot prints tattooed across my chest?
Right.
And then when one of the sets of boot prints disappears and people ask about it.
There's two sets of boot prints?
Yeah.
Walking across my chest, and about halfway through, right where it hits the sternum, one set of boot prints continues up like to my left shoulder.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where I carry you.
And this people will say, like, why does it turn into one set of boot prints? And it's like, well, that's where I carried you.
That's where I carried you. I think that's something.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
And the joke doctors, I think, have struck again.
It's not quite as clean as the saxophone joke.
No.
But
it creates
it's
a
something
world.
There, yeah. It kind of it makes you ask more questions, which is what you want from an audience.
Yeah.
You know, you want them asking questions.
And it's a good tattoo idea.
Can I do a segment?
Yeah.
What is your... college boy name?
Okay. Is it Dinkum?
The other boys were coming in from the water now. Rod Shockley grabbed a couple of beers from the styrofoam cooler under the trees and tossed one over to Scott.
Rod Shockley.
Rod Shockley. So I think the game here
it's like penis, vaguely penis.
Euphemism for penis.
And then something like a violent, like something like violent and intense.
And then with
and
like
then you
Lee
can
on
just
the
add
end.
A suffix to
yeah.
it.
So I'm going to go search for like slang for penis. Is that good?
Yeah.
Thought catalog. Every single slang for penis you need to know. God bless Thought Catalog for just being here for us.
Just doing the fucking work.
You know?
And Thought Catalog is doing the fucking work.
And there's 151 of these.
every single slang word for penis. Thank you, Thought Catalog. And I don't stop to thank Thought Catalog enough.
Yeah. I want to branch out in a way that you and I can like kind of find.
I like Chode a lot.
Chode is a beautiful name
for a college dude.
Man, I just scrolled down randomly and I got to the M's. Number 60 is Master John Goodfellow. And I've never heard anyone refer to their penis as Master John Goodfellow. But you know what? I don't talk to many people about their penises.
I've never heard anyone refer to their penis as Custard Launcher.
That's gross.
Whoever wrote this fucking...
Pingus.
Like,
January fucking... Nelson wrote this one. We should have her on.
Yeah.
We should say, January, come on our show. We need to talk to you about how Thought Catalog is always just a constant resource for us.
So are we doing this in any particular way, or are we just kind of try to hone in on the best possible college bro name?
Here's what you can do. Take your...
Because Dirk is good. Oh, so let's just do it. Let's do it honestly. We'll take the... We'll start with the day of your birth.
Day of your birth, yep.
And that's it. That's how you get. That's how you get your penis.
Your first name. That's how you get your penis. It's how you get your first name.
Okay, and then so we need something that's like words that are like shock.
Well, I guess we just go to thesaurus.com for that, right?
Yeah, and so we're gonna go to thesaurus.com and just look up, and then you can go to the month of your birth for that.
Yep.
Oh no, then we're both gonna get the same fucking thing.
That's fine. So, that happens.
Let's do something else. Let's go to the number that corresponds with the first letter of your first name.
Okay. I don't know if there's 26 of them here. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then you add Lee. So can you want to hear mine?
Yeah. One second, though. I have to count, and I'm not good at it when you're talking.
Okay.
P-Q-R-S-T. Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, man. Welcome to the frat. It's so great to have you here. I just want to introduce myself. I'm like the main frat brother here, and we're going to be like partying pretty hard and pounding beers and stuff and doing beer bongs. And my name, of course, you probably heard about me, but my name is Chode Joltley.
Oh, hey, Chode. Yeah, you're like famous around here, man.
Yeah.
You're like a party god, man.
Yeah.
I've heard so much about you. I heard you did like a power hour and then you did like another club. One.
Yeah, and then I went to one of those napping parties and I was the first one to fall asleep, man.
Oh man. Yeah. I went to a party once and I drank some absinthe and fell asleep.
Yeah.
My name. Sorry. Yeah, my name is Dink. Dink Shaky.
Dink Shakely?
Shaky.
Oh, Shaky.
Yeah, Dink Shaky is my name. And I'm kind of a pledge. So like, man, I aspire to be like you, man.
Yeah.
Also I surf.
Okay, like that's
Bill
perfect.
Bill Chase is kind of a hero of mine. Yeah.
And we're art bros too, so we're gonna be doing a lot
and
of
I'm
like,
actually an art bro and I'm actually pretty sensitive and introspective.
Yeah. So. Yeah, same. You're gonna fit in really well here, Dink.
Yeah. I like to go to parties. I like to sip sake. You know?
Perfect. We have time for some quick burns, and then we're going
to
go.
Oh, I have so many more notes. You want me to just rattle through them?
Let's, rattle through.
I only have one more note before I get to my burn.
Okay, let's hear it.
Jack and Tanner.
Is that a fumble? He threw the ball back onto the field.
Football geniuses.
This makes no sense at any level in flag football. Why would you do that?
Okay, here we go.
When they arrived at the gym, Jessica sidled up to link arms with Ken Matthews, who was just leaving. Physically, Ken was all you would expect of someone who was captain of the football team. Tall, blonde, blue-eyed, and gorgeous. And Jack, I don't know much about football. But Jessica listed four adjectives there, and I think one of them might apply to football.
Let's do a thought experiment here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Bill Belichick.
Sure, and, legendary coach of the Buffalo Bills.
The New England Patriots. And hey, it's my first
wild guess, based purely on the fact that his name was Bill.
Big press conference. after the draft, and I know a lot of guys are wondering why we traded up to pick this guy. We traded two first-round draft picks and
you had
third
two
rounder
first-round draft
from this
picks?
Year. In the future, you can trade your future picks
okay.
to trade up to get this guy.
How did the Patriots get and two first-round draft picks? That seems unfair.
A lot of questions about him, but
seems like
I think
that would go
anyone,
to someone with like, you know, lower stats from the season.
You can trade your future. Everyone has a first-round draft pick.
I get it.
Everyone
but...
in football has a... Everyone... Listen to me. Look at me. I'm the captain. Look at me. Everyone in football has a pick in the first round.
Okay.
Okay? Even if you're good, you just have a late pick. Good? So you can trade away next year's draft pick, and then people will be like, well, if it's the Patriots, it's probably going to be a late pick.
This is dad talk. When... Yeah. None of you saw this because I was doing it visually, but yeah. I was nodding at Jack while he was chastising me. Miles, when he's like mildly annoyed with you, like asking him questions, instead of answering you, he'll just go.
Tanner's nodding.
Just like very like vigorous over the top nodding. Like, leave me alone.
But anyway, thanks for this press conference. It got derailed, but I was just going to say that the reason we picked the guy is because he's tall, blonde,
blue eyes,
and
gorgeous,
and he's gorgeous. So, no further questions.
Yeah, good.
Should we do our burns?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a segment that we call our. And that's where we say the burns that were in the book and whether there were any burns. And I picked a couple.
I'll do mine because it's right after my quote that I just said.
Yeah.
Right now, he was also sweaty from football practice. And his jersey clung to his broad chest in dark, wet patches. Jessica thought he looked very sexy. How's it going, Kendall? She flirted. It was an old joke between them because she was always kidding him about his resemblance to Barbie doll's companion. I think what she's referring to is his smooth genitals. I think she's referring to the fact that he has smooth, plasticine genitals.
That's funny.
Yeah. And that my burn is on Ken.
Yeah,
because
Ken Matthews.
He has smooth genitals.
Yeah, and actually, and this is Bill Belichick again, and that's another thing that we're really kind of interested in. That's why we traded
up. It's a real
up.
Advantage.
We think it was a...
You know,
yeah. You know, you look at the board and you see who's the going to be the best fit for your team, and you go with it. And
it gives you this sort of like aerodynamic edge,
yeah.
You know, out there, and also like you can't take any nut shots.
That's true.
You won't be leveled by like a real a hit to the pills.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It's
a competitive edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your burn?
What could go wrong? Says Jessica. I've got the perfect alibi. Kara's family is driving up the coast for the day, and they invited me to go with them. It's all arranged. Ask Mom. She believed you? Jessica switched on her innocent smile once again. Why shouldn't she? Is this the face of a liar? Yes, replied Elizabeth. That's funny. I've got another quick one if you want to hear
it. I also have a quick one that I think could maybe be a viable outro for us.
Okay, well, fuck yes, let's hear that. Well, let's hear mine then.
Let's hear yours. Yeah.
Okay. Have you been seeing Scott for very long? So this is like one of the girls who's friends with Scott, who like goes to college with him, and Jessica thinks it's reasonable to lie in response to that question. It's like,
yeah,
honey, like,
yeah,
they're friends,
right?
Anyway, have you been seeing Scott for very long? The question had been directed at Jessica by a tall, leggy blonde named Greta. Her smallish brown eyes were heavily outlined with charcoal eye pencil, making her nose seem longer than it really was.
Such a confusing
series of words. Incredibly confusing. Like, we'll unpack it for just a second. Her small-ish...
Oh, I would want to start back at leggy blonde. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
All legs?
A tall... Leggy blonde.
Yeah. I think that means
a tall,
every,
leggy
every
blonde.
Appendage is a leg.
she's got tall legs. It means more than the normal number of legs, right. I think
maybe her arms are legs.
She's got legs for arms. A tall, leggy blonde named Greta. Her smallish brown eyes, and so they're not small.
No, they're smallish.
And they're not medium size. Small-ish. And they're not big.
No. No one would ever describe them as big.
They can only be described as smallish.
Smallish, yeah.
Her smallish brown eyes are heavily outlined with charcoal eye pencil.
Absolutely no idea what that means. I don't even want to get into that. That means nothing to me.
What? That means nothing to me. Yeah. She's just like drawn. It's like a raccoon.
I think it's like a raccoon. And I think what you need to do is, because obviously your head is a leg.
Yeah.
So like you're just sort of like you're working with like a face on a thigh. So you need some definition.
Do a raccoon. You know? But then the craziest part is next, making her nose seem longer than it really was.
Don't know what that means.
It's a leg.
Her nose is a leg too. And that's part of being leggy.
Here's the burn. She reminded Jessica of a guinea pig she'd once had.
That's even more confusing. I feel like we just painted this very like...
Did Jessica have a leggy guinea pig?
Yeah, that's what a confusing series of words.
That was good. Let's hear your burn, and maybe it's our outro.
This is sort of a burn. It's something that Kara says. Well, a lot of people said it. A lot of people say this. Okay.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people are saying.
I've only read now 5 of these books.
Yeah.
And I know it's not true. And I don't know why everyone keeps insisting that it is. Jessica's a big girl. Kara peered at her through a pair of sunglasses, shaded the exact pink of her bikini. She can take care of herself. No, she can't. And no, she's not.
No, she can't. She can't. No.
Why does everyone keep insisting that Jessica can take care of herself?
She fundamentally can't.
It's the entire premise of the entire series of books so far. And I've only read 5, but I assume that this is a trope that carries on through all, whatever, 120 of these books. Jessica is not an adult, and she can't take care of herself.
No, she can't.
And
she
I think this is
big sister to look after her.
Potentially a robust, fertile soil for us to grow an outro out of.
Okay.
We're big girls.
We're big girls. We can take care of ourselves. Yeah, that's great. Beautiful. I love that. All right, let's give it a whirl by leaving first.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to leave. We're going to go. I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank the Sweeties very much for bearing with us. I would like to remind everybody to please subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We have a whole other fucking podcast. It's good. You'll like it. It's good. It's only $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. Buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch, and join the Facebook group. Everyone has fun in there.
Yeah, everyone has a good time in there.
Finally, what I would like to say is that this week we did read a novel. The novel that we read this week was called Sweet Valley High number 5, All Night Long. Next week we're going to be reading a little novel. That novel is going to be called Sweet Valley High number 6, Dangerous Love. And it's motorcycling, probably.
And I guess we'll kind of get into sort of the mechanics around how a boat...
gets on a bike.
Could motorcycle. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. All that remains is for me to say that this week, my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
I'd like to say a great big Sweet Valley bye to everybody who's listening.
Sweet Valley bye. Bye.
And we're big girls. We can take care of ourselves.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's empowering.
Yeah.
Boys, if you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. It's a sweet, sweet valley life. Sweet Valley Jack and Tanner and Joy. And a sweet, sweet valley life. Sweet Valley Jack and Tanner and Joy. And a sweet, sweet valley boys. If you love Sweet Valley, better make some noise. And life is sweet and it's full of joy. Cause you're in Sweet Valley with the sweet, sweet valley boys.
It's Friday night. I was expecting you to be a little bit more lively. You're being a real wet towel over here.
I'm being fine. Nothing.
Fine.
Don't do this
fine.
To me.
Let's record.
I'm not being fine. A wet towel. Ready?
Fine.
Don't. That's not what I sound like.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Be very.